start with prayer. Fittingly. Lord, this week we are going to talk about prayer, and we thank you for the opportunity to do that. Lord, help guide us to see what prayer is to you, and also what prayer is and means for us as well. Lord, in everything, open our minds to your words so that we can take them to heart. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Lesson 13, prayer, the Christian and prayer. How would you define prayer? Even before we dive into it, how would you define prayer?
Talking to God.
Talking to God, okay.
I was just going to say speak to God.
Speaking to God.
Yeah. Communication with God.
Okay, communication with God. A little broader there.
We don't always speak. Sometimes we
think it, okay. Everybody satisfied with that? Jack?
The inspiration you get when you read the Bible.
Okay, inspiration. Okay.
Contemplation.
Contemplation.
Peace.
Peace? Okay. Well, let's check it out, everything that we just said. Let's see what the Bible has to say. So you can see the first part says Christian prayer is. Let's look up Psalm 19:14 first.
I have it.
Ann's got it?
Already.
Already, Ann. Fast Ann.
Ann's got it.
Yeah.
Well, go for it.
It's a very familiar phrase.
It is. Go ahead.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Very.
You notice Pastor Colander says that before the sermons, which is good. Guides us to focus ourselves. So listen to what it says. May the words of my mouth and
meditation.
And the meditation of my heart. So when we were defining it beforehand, I heard speaking to God, talking to God, that's true, communicating with God. And that really can happen mentally. You know, speaking it, but sometimes do you have the words? No, sometimes as we'll see later on from Romans 8, it's just kind of right? So communicating to God in some way from the heart. So number one, a heart-to-heart talk, spoken or unspoken, with the one true God. A heart-to-heart talk, spoken or unspoken, with the one true God. Keep in mind, when the Bible talks about prayer, it's talking about what we do toward God. It's not God speaking to us. How does God speak to us?
Through his word.
That's what it always says. I give you my word. He talks about his words. All of that. Through his word is how he speaks to us. We talk to God through prayer. So that's kind of how we have a conversation with God. So one thing to keep in mind. The scriptural view of prayer is not God talking to us. It's us talking to God. Which is where we would also caution ourselves if we're talking about inspiration or something like that. We have to be careful that, you know, there are some out there that believe as you're talking to God, he kind of communicates and puts things into your heart. Again, that happens through scripture from what he says, through his word. Now, is God able to do that? Absolutely. But at the same time, if somebody says, God told me something, what would you automatically have to do?
Check scripture.
That's right. So it better line up with this, or obviously it wasn't from him. But also we would also caution against God speaking to us anywhere outside of scripture, because who else can talk to us and make it seem like it's God?
Yeah.
Devil, right? So we have to be careful of that one too. Again, God can do those things, but now with his inspired word and how he uses that is what we trust in. So Christian prayer is a heart-to-heart talk with God, and notice it says Christian prayer. So let's take a look. 1 Kings 18, 20 to 39. So a longer section. Chuck, I can see your Bible is cut open to it, roughly to where 1 Kings would be. Would you want to read that for the rest?
So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call in the name of your God, and I will call in the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call in the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "O Baal, answer us," they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. Water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God."
I'll take a breath. Thank you for reading that. What did you notice? God listened to whom, but not to whom?
Elijah.
Listen to Elijah, but not to
prophets
of Baal. So that story is there to highlight what we're going to see in the next two passages as well. Isaiah 59:2. Isaiah 59, verse 2. Does anybody have that one ready? It's willing to read it.
I'll take it.
Mark?
"But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear."
Okay, so Isaiah talking to even the Israelites there, "Your iniquities, your sins have separated you from God. You won't hear." So what does sin do between us and God?
Separates.
It separates, that's right. Even to the point where he won't hear prayer. So keep that in mind. However, there is a group of people that he does listen to. Let's read Galatians 3:26. Got it?
Okay. "In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith."
So you're all children of God through faith. And then later in that section, it'll say, you can say to him, "Abba, Father." Right? So you can call out to him. So you're all children of God through faith. So of course he's going to listen to you as his child. So number two, Christian prayer is, it's a privilege for God's children who through faith in Jesus have had the barrier of sin removed. So through faith, that barrier of sin where he doesn't hear, that's been removed. So he does hear us as his children. So number two, a privilege for God's children who through faith in Jesus have had the barrier of sin removed. So the prophets of Baal didn't know God. They didn't know the true God. They were just calling out to a false God. Of course, that prayer is not going to get answered. But Elijah knew the true God. He knew his promises, and he believed in him, and he prayed. And of course, that one was answered big time. So if you look at the picture there, you got that diagram, right? Anything there that's not filled in? No, I think it's all filled in. So you can see that, really, who does God hear the prayers of? And these are just a couple of passages that show this, but he only hears the prayers of
those who trust in Jesus.
Yeah, those who trust in Jesus, so believers or Christians. Unbelievers, they don't, so they have that problem. Questions on that first? So Christian prayer is something for Christians. Yeah?
So how would you answer when people are in distress, like 9/11 or on an airplane, and everybody starts praying, please don't let me die?
Depends on what's in their heart, and I don't know that. But which prayers would God hear? Now, can he do that? Can he work outside of this? He's the one. He knows all things, it's his choice. It's not ours. But from what we see in Scripture, he says that he hears the prayers of Christians and those who have faith. Again, if he can work outside of that, he has the sovereignty to do that. Good question. Sometimes you'll run into people that say, that don't know God, and they'll say, well, I prayed that God would guide me, and he did. And kind of wondering, if that was really true. Not going to question God's goodness in doing so, but at the same time wondering. Questions on that? I know that can be a tough thing, too. Think of it this way. Heather, how would I call you? If I had to get a hold of you, how would I call you? Cell phone, right? I take out my cell phone, and you're there in my favorites. You're my favorite. But if you weren't, what would I have to do?
Type in my number.
Your number. Could I type in any random number? Right? Heather? You got the wrong number, right? You'd hear, yeah. You got the wrong number. Nope, I'd have to enter in Heather's exact 10-digit number. So, same thing with God. If somebody's saying, I called God, in a sense. Yeah, but you didn't know the number. The number is Jesus. And if somebody doesn't know that, then they're not calling the right place. Questions on that? Does that help explain it a little bit?
Yeah, I'm completely in agreement with what you said. I think sometimes we have to understand, and we don't understand where people were. They could have been raised Christians.
Right.
They could know the word and fallen away. And then when trials and tribulations come upon their life, they remember, what they had learned and things like that.
And then so that's a different case there. So then if it's somebody that had some sort of background and they're calling out to God, that's an act of trust, isn't it?
You may or may not.
They may or may not know, right? But there very could well be an act of trust upon the God that I learned about when I was younger. And so then is that faith? You and I don't know, but God does. But then you'd be calling the right number if it was,
yeah.
Right?
A pastor friend of mine who's in heaven, said one of his favorite things sitting on an airplane was to engage the person next to him to talk about God. And he said it's surprising the number of people that really know God and know about God, but have somehow in their life kind of fallen away. And you can spend 2 hours on a plane in deep conversation with him. And Harry was just tremendous at that. I mean, just engaging people and talking about God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's they can't move. Neither can the people all around you. Yeah. Been in that situation before. And then kids happened. Yeah. All right, so let's go down to number 3 then. Ephesians 6:18. Can somebody read that? Anne, go for it.
Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere.
Okay, and Philippians 4:6 we'll read as well. You got that one ready too, Chuck? Are you sure? Your throat's okay? All right.
Philippians 4:6.
Yep.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God.
So pray, present. Now I'm blanking on the... In English, what are those words?
Petitions.
Pray.
Pray.
Persistence.
Commands, aren't they? Yeah. Imperatives, we would call them. Yeah, commands. What am I thinking? What word am I thinking? Types of speech? What am I thinking?
Grammar?
Grammar? Yeah, grammar. No, there's like... What? Never mind, don't worry about it. My English is failing me, ironically. So, so they're commands. Commands right there in Scripture. So number 3, it's command, a command of God for all believers. Pray! It's not a suggestion, it's a command.
An action verb?
Action verb, yeah, what I'm thinking of.
No, I'm trying to think of teaching middle school English.
Like verbs, nouns, adjectives, what would you call all of those?
Parts of speech?
Parts of speech, is that what it is?
I don't know.
That's what I was thinking.
It's like in school, it's parts of speech.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. What type of what parts of speech are those? Yeah, don't worry about it.
It'll come to you later.
Time for us to go back to school.
Verbs?
Yeah. And then we try to tell our kids those classes are important, and then we forget them. All right. Number 3, a command. It's an imperative. Do it. But it's also something else. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 12. Somebody to read that one? Adrian?
Sure. 10 through 12?
Yep.
In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight.
What had just happened to Paul?
He had been blinded.
Why? What was he doing?
He was persecuting Jesus.
Persecuting the church. And what happened then? He was blinded, but then who talked to him? Jesus did, yeah. Eventually Ananias. But yeah, Jesus did. And Paul had already had known what this Christian message was. And so this was the word of God remembered that created this faith in Paul. And then Paul, naturally, I mean, had no instruction really in what was going on. And yet, what was he sitting there doing? God told Ananias, Paul
is praying.
So right after coming to faith, Paul has this natural response, and that's what number 4 is, a natural response of faith, of saving faith in Jesus. Prayer is a natural response to saving faith in Jesus.
That's number 4?
Number 4, yep.
What was 3? I thought
we called it. 3 is a command of God for all believers. Number 4, a natural response of saving faith in Jesus. So Paul comes to faith and is sitting there praying to God. When you believe in this God and you believe in what he did, then you just kind of talk to him and want to Maybe you have requests, maybe you prayers of thanks, whatever it is, prayers of for help. But that's what that sentence there, I believe it's right under number four. God speaking to us in love leads to our speaking to Him in love. So once again, where does God speak to us? In His Word. And then what happens with us after we read God's Word? Natural two?
Speak with Him.
Yeah, pray with Him. Notice we do this in our worship services every Sunday. What do we start with, first of all? So we start with a hymn. After the hymn, we have you stand and then do what?
Confession.
Confession of sins, yep. Confession of sins and absolution, showing that, look at that, number two is taken care of, that we recognize that that barrier of sin is gone. And then the pastor will say, in peace let us pray to the Lord, or in peace let us praise the Lord. You'll hear that. So now that we recognize that sin barrier is gone, let's pour out our praise. That's a type of prayer. And then we go to God's Word, and we listen to God's Word, three lessons. We hear a pastor blab on for 20 minutes, at least when I preach. And then after that, after listening to the Word and the exposition of the Word, what do we do after the offering? We pray, the prayer of the church, so more prayers, right? So that's how we respond to God's Word. It's now, okay, Lord, now we believe this about You. We want to pray to You about these things. And later on, we see the prayer and the blessing and all that stuff, so we pray together. So it's a big part of what we do in worship. And you can see it's a natural response of the faith that we have and what we celebrate in that worship.
Yes, but there was always a very, very good message in your blabbing.
Well, I thank God for His grace in that. Let's go on. How should we pray? So then if we are to pray, if we want to pray, how should we pray? God gives us guidance there too. John 15:16. Dick, go ahead.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give to you.
So number one, how should we pray? First of all, everything we pray is to be
in God's name.
Yeah, in Jesus' name. Yeah, but God's name too. So, number one, in Jesus' name, that is trusting in Him as our personal Savior. A lot of times at the end of prayers and worship, we say that, we ask all of this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and so on. Along with You, Father and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, so on. Whatever, that can change, but ultimately always in Jesus' name we ask this. That's the confidence that we have in that prayer that we just said. Now for number two, we're going to read the next three passages. So number two, let's go to 1 John 5:14. How else should we pray?
I'll read down.
Go for it.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us.
Okay, so not just in Jesus' name, but also...
Thy will be done.
Yeah, Thy will be done. Yeah, according to His will. And we'll see that in the next couple of passages too. John 15:7, we'll go just 9 verses earlier than the last one.
If You remain in Me and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you.
So if you're remaining in Me, then that means your prayer is going to be according to God's will. Romans 8:26. Heather?
In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express.
Okay, so if we don't even know what to pray, what do we do?
Groan.
Groan, yeah. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that groans, right? But we groan too. Right? Inexpressible groans, things that we just don't even know. But guess what? God does. Uh-huh. So number two, we seeking that God's will be done, so we need Bible study and the Spirit's help. So all of that together. So God's will be done. How can we do that? Well, knowing what God's will is, remaining in Him, as Kelly read. So remaining in Him means, all right, I'm going to learn more about what Your will is so I can pray according to it. But then also when you just don't even know, Maybe you haven't gained that knowledge yet, or maybe you're just to the point where you're frustrated. What can you do? Well, the Holy Spirit's there to help you. So help you pray according to God's will.
Well, I was taught too, you can also pray, Father, you know what's in my heart. You know it's what's on my heart and what's troubling me. And of course God does, you know. So that's another way of saying to God, I really don't know what to pray for right now at this moment, but you know what's troubling my heart. And I ask you to help me with that.
Yep, yeah, it's all wide open to Him and He knows. Even before you think it, He knows.
Yeah.
Now, what might be the temptation if, okay, God knows, so therefore,
why pray?
Yeah, why even bother? What's the point? If God knows already, and He loves me, well, that goes back to that command again. But also, it comes in with what we're going to cover next in number 3. Go to James 1, 5 through 7. This, to me, is just one of the best reminders about prayer. Barbara?
If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind.
You ever say a prayer, but half of you is thinking, that probably won't happen. I'll ask it, but
why am I laughing?
You probably won't do that, Lord. Right? I mean, that's something that, yeah, you can laugh about it.
It's a lot.
Yeah. We do that. And yet, that's why I love this reminder. You're doubting that God's going to do it? Why even pray? Problems with you there, not God, right? Ask. We'll keep going here, too. There's more. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 9. Anne, if you have already,
yes,
go for it.
Yes, I have.
A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing.
Okay, so when we pray for those sorts of things, you know what, I think that was 1 Corinthians.
Yeah. Was that 1 instead of 2? I'm sorry.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians. So
that didn't sound right, did it? No, not quite.
We'll talk about it.
Ironically fits a little bit, so go ahead.
Well, here's 12. Yeah. Go back to 12, yeah. And my apologies.
That's okay.
Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from being proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from being proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time He said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That
works,
makes more sense.
Works best. Interesting translation. Works best. It's actually
it's a different.
Yeah.
It's like
literally. It's literally is like made complete, made whole, in weakness. And and you think about that fact. Like Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and what did he do?
Prayed.
Yeah. Lord, take it away. Didn't take it away. So what did Paul do? He prayed again. Lord, take it away. Didn't happen. What did Paul do? Prayed again, right? 3 times he said, I prayed for the Lord. Lord, take it away. And finally the Lord says, my power is made perfect in weakness. Right? So we can pray, and just because we don't get an answer, we think, does that mean that we're not getting an answer?
No.
No, we're getting an answer. Does that mean that God didn't hear? No, absolutely He heard. And He wants us to pray. But it's just that His answer will be different than what we expect sometimes. So number three, trusting that God will hear and answer in His own way, in His own time and way. So prayer isn't a demand. And we defer to God's wisdom, of course, in everything, and His almighty power. And instead of that being a deterrent to prayer that prevents us from prayer, shouldn't that make us pray all the more? God loves us. God is all-powerful and taking care of us. And He's all-wise and knows everything that's on our heart already. That's more of a reason to pray. That shouldn't prevent us from prayer. And that means that God is even willing to weave our prayers into His plan. And that's what prayer really essentially is. Yes, God has a plan, but He wants to hear what we want. He'll weave that into His plan. That's how gracious He is.
Question on the how.
Yeah.
So, the how, praying in Jesus' name, thy will be done, through studying of the Bible, is there a right or wrong way to pray that's still respectful? Having moved here from the Bible Belt, where there's a lot of amens and arm raising and flair in church, is that wrong coming from people coming from a Baptist background more so with how we pray if we're praying in Jesus' name respectfully? I mean, is there a right or wrong in that how aspect?
In the temple, the priest would raise his hands and pray. Other Christians too, or in Psalms you would read, you know, raise up your hands in prayer. And so Christians would do that. Jonah was in the belly of a whale when he prayed.
He better not raise his hands.
He didn't have room. Jesus was dying on the cross when he called out to God. Let's see, the
Daniel
and the lion den. The tax collector and Jesus' parable that wouldn't even look up, he just beat his breast. Abraham in front of God went prostrate on the ground with his face to the ground. Lots of different positions that you can pray in. There isn't really a way that God says this is wrong or this is right. Again, it's what's in here, and only God knows that. In our worship services, we have it printed out. And it's not ex corde, a lot of it. Sometimes it is a little bit. But ex corde means from the heart. Sometimes pastors, well, all people have to do that, but sometimes pastors are asked to do that a little bit more too. And we'll cover, you know, what you can think of, a good outline for you if you have to do an ex corde prayer. But we print it all out so it's easy to follow. There are some good things and bad things to that. Sometimes it doesn't sound genuine. Sometimes it sounds repetitive. Sometimes people get lost and boring and they don't focus on it. Yeah. However, on other people, it actually helps them focus and keep their minds straight so that they're not out and about. Now they're actually reading something along with. It can help. Some people have a hard time hearing the prayer, so they want to read it too and follow along. So positives and negatives to all of it. But yeah, prayer can come in many shapes and forms and positions. So I would say, let's not shackle ourselves with saying prayer has to be done this way. Let's just pray and enjoy it. Really good question. Yeah, so whenever you're praying, don't think, is this wrong or right, I would say. Unless, you know, according to God's will is where we got to be thinking, yeah. All right. So, for what should we pray then? So, if that's what prayer is, this is how good guidance and how we are to pray in Jesus' name, seeking God's will, and also trusting that God will hear and answer, then what should we pray for? Let's look at Matthew 6:33. We'll go in Matthew 6 and 7 for a few passages here. Yep, 6:33. Mark, you on?
But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Okay, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and all these things. What's He talking about, these things?
Food, clothing.
Yeah, well, let's read it. Let's go to verses 9 through 13. It's part of what He references. Anybody wants to read that one? So 9 through 13 in the same chapter. Mark, go for it again.
This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
If you look at the petitions of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus teaches, how many of them are for physical blessings? Which is?
Give us today our daily bread.
Look at all the other ones that are there surrounded. If you think about that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So Lord, make your name holy. Right? Make it be known. Uphold your name. Your kingdom come. So Lord, your kingdom, your rule in people's hearts, further that in the world. Your will be done. Same thing. What is God's will? Lord, we pray that your will is done throughout the earth, but also in our lives. Give us today our daily bread. And then, back to spiritual blessings. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Right? You can see all these petitions, and one of them is about physical blessings. So, number one, for what should we pray? Especially for spiritual blessings. But also for physical needs. Notice that there is indeed a petition for physical needs. Give us today our daily bread. Remember reading a quote from Luther about prayer, where he said, he was talking about praying for spiritual blessings, and he says, when you pray those things, is God ever going to say no? It's according to his will, right, obviously, and it's a spiritual blessing. Is he ever going to say no? No. For those, he's always going to say yes. Lord, make my faith stronger. Lord, help me know you better. Lord, please bless my friend who's struggling with knowing you. Is the Lord going to bless that and work for that? Is he going to listen to that prayer and say yes? Every time. Now, when it comes to physical blessings, is the Lord always going to say yes?
No.
No, he might. He might say yes. But, Lord, give me $10 million.
Is that all?
That's all? Right, yeah. Oh, I should have asked for more. No. But the Lord's not going to, Brock, you might be led away from me. I know better than you on this. I know you need this. It might not even be $10 million. Lord, help me get through this month so that I can buy that. Yeah, Vikings versus Packers, sure. Lord, help the Vikings win a football game. Brock, that might not be better in the long run. In fact, I've thought that since 1961. So, the Lord puts more on those he thinks have more in it. No, I'm joking. So praying for those things that aren't needs, the Lord might say maybe. He might say no, right? Because he knows best. But we can still pray for them and ask for them. Lord, I would really like to go on vacation sometime. Guide me in saving up for that so our family can have a good time together. That might work out. It might not. Like that. So speaking of that, for number two, Matthew 7:7, can I get somebody to read that? Anne, go for it. You got it. You got that look.
The right one, too. Keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you.
I like that translation because I think those are present participles there. So, mm-hmm.
So
keep on asking is the command, the imperative. So
yeah
keep doing it.
And knocking. Asking, seeking, and knocking.
Right.
It's all there.
So that was first Matthew, or not second Matthew.
Right?
Oh, bad joke. Sorry, bad joke.
me on that one.
She reads so much in the 19th report.
You got me on that.
I know. Now nobody wants to stick their neck out and read. Psalm 50:15, anybody got that? Everybody know that? Some from Psalm 50? Really well. Really good Psalm. Right before Psalm 51. Barbara, go for it. All right, call upon me in the day of trouble. So number two, for personal needs, personal requests are called petitions. Yeah. Petitions. But we don't just pray for ourselves. 1 Timothy 2:1. Anybody got that? See, Mike's got it. Is Mike willing to stick his neck out? I won't make fun of you if it's 2 Timothy.
Yeah, he won't get you.
2:1. Yeah. I urge you, then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone.
Everyone, yeah. So we pray not just for ourselves, but for everyone. And, in fact, Paul starts to talk about how Jesus died for everyone. And how we're to pray even for those who are... especially the rulers and the kings who govern over us, even if we don't agree with them. And think that's big coming from Paul back in that day. Mm-hmm. You think you didn't like Obama or you don't like Trump or whatever it is? Think about Paul and Nero, who eventually killed him, so, and was persecuting his fellow Christians. So it's a big statement. So number three, for others' needs, requests for others are called intercessions.
Intercessions. Okay.
So to intercede for someone else.
How do you spell that?
Intercessions. I-N-T-E-R-C-E-S-S-I-O-N-S. My English is getting better as this class goes on, but this is also printed out for me.
Did we read 1 Timothy?
Yep. Yep, Mike did.
Mine was so different from
this. Oh, was it? All right, interesting.
It was. Well, it was, yeah.
Read it.
It mentions kings specifically, you know.
Yeah.
It said, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so we may have live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness. And
yeah, so.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yep, just praying for everyone.
Yeah, that's why I missed that.
So now what should we include for balanced prayers? So, you know, think about that fact. How do our prayers become imbalanced sometimes? Only pray for ourselves. Yeah. We humans aren't selfish. What are you doing? Yeah. No, we all are. We think the world revolves around us sometimes, and therefore our prayers kind of get caught in that revolution too. What else? What other ways do our prayers become imbalanced?
We pray for worldly blessings rather than spiritual blessings.
Okay. So worldly blessings instead of spiritual. What else?
Well, we sometimes pray for help when we need help, not when we should be praying all along. I mean, you know, we should be...
So you're saying only in that moment of that, yeah, we need help, yeah, right, instead of beforehand preparing us for...
Yeah. Okay, I've been praying about it.
Yeah, that's true. So a lot of times when we find ourselves in that situation, mm-hmm, that's the only time we think to pray. You're right. So having that regular conversation is good. What about if it's like, well, God, here I come to you in prayer again. I'm so amazing. Let me give you my request so that you can fulfill it. Is that how we are to come to him?
No.
Wow. Wow. Right, yeah. Yeah, we say wow. Sadly, back in Jesus' day, there was a group called Pharisees that we can sometimes emulate. Whereas, we're so amazing, Lord, compared to these unbelievers, compared to these people who aren't as righteous and holy as us Christians, let's pray for them, right? Obviously, some imbalance there. Where do we want to balance it up?
Humility versus
humility,
pride.
Yeah, humility. And part of humility is also recognizing what happened between me and God, and continually happens.
We often struggle because they pray all the time, which is great, but it's always thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and there's never any confession in it. It's always just like, and then they at the end they ask for, like, you know, and watch over this game or watch over this whatever, but it's always like 50 thank yous and then the little confession, but never any like, or ask, but never like confession or like kind of that humility piece a little bit.
Yeah, so that humility and that confession, like you said. Yeah. So confessing your sins. So obviously I've done something wrong. Lord, I know I don't deserve to come to you. But recognizing that. You know, I think if you read through your Bible, and it's one thing we all miss in our lives, is how much in the Bible it really commends a humble heart. A humble heart. And you think, I think always of this, I think of Abraham's prayer before Sodom and Gomorrah. What did Abraham do when he recognized, uh-oh, this is the Lord? What did he do? He went prostrate. And what? Why? What was that a symbol of? Like, I don't deserve to come to you, Lord. And in fact, I think he even might say, like, I am just dust. I am nothing. I am nothing compared to you. Lord, even if you find 40. Lord, even if you find 30. Lord, I'm just dust. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to be bold, though. So balancing humility with boldness is important. So let's go look at that ACTS acronym. Really like this one. If you're doing an ex corde prayer, this is a good thing to remember, too. Adoration. It's for A. Adoration. So praising and worshiping. Lord, we praise you for this, for what you do for us, or for who you are in this, or what your word reveals for this. We praise you for that. C, confession. Confession. But Lord, this is what we've done. Even though you do that for us, this is what we've done. We know we don't deserve it. We deserve a lot worse. T, Thanksgiving. Yeah, Thanksgiving. Not just on Thanksgiving, but every day, Thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for sending Christ. Lord, thank you for continuing to do this. Lord, thank you for your grace. And I notice what's at the end. S, it's the hardest word. Yeah, supplication. Supplication. That he would supply something. Asking that he would supply something. Supplication.
So the Lord's Prayer is that?
It's very similar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Right? I mean, these are all petitions, though. They're all asking. But they are focused on him and his glory and his confession. And yeah, it's a lot of the same. So supplication. Prayer helps. So some things to keep in mind, but not commanded. Keep that in mind. And as we're going through all these things, ask yourself, why? Why would we do this? Why would we think this? Why might this be beneficial? Number one, do you have it all filled out in yours? Yeah, posture. So kneeling, why kneeling? Humility. Yeah.
King, you kneel.
Yeah, you come before a king, you kneel, right? Again.
Jesus kneeled in Gethsemane.
Part of that humility, yep. Folded hands. Why do we do that?
We tell our kids they're not fiddling stuff.
Okay, so not fiddling. So it helps you focus. Helps us do that too. It's a good signal to our kids, yeah, like, oh, we're praying. Yeah. So that focusing that I'm coming to you, this is humble. Bowed head, same thing, humble. Lord, I don't deserve. Don't have to do it, but you can do it. Place, where does Jesus suggest you pray?
In your room.
What's that?
In your room.
In your room, yeah, in a quiet place. So seeking a quiet place by yourself. Jesus often withdrew from the crowds, and what would he do? He would pray. He would go off by himself, and he would pray. You think about that. The Son of God himself prayed. I mean, and you and I sometimes struggle to want to pray, to think that we need to pray. The Son of God himself did a lot. Maybe have a definite time, maybe right before bed, things like that. Maybe when you wake up, before a meal. Wording, we talked already about acts, but speak honestly and directly from the heart with ordinary vocabulary. You don't have to try to impress God. Right? It's not like, God, let me show you all the English words that I just learned today in Bible class. Even though I can't think of the other ones.
Thou and thee.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Thou and, yeah. No, just talk, right? However you talk. Reminder, prayer and Bible study go together. So pray through parts of Scripture, verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph. So if you study the Bible, if you're reading part of the Bible, reflect on it. prayer, asking God for something, can help you apply that to your life, but also makes you want to pray, remember. So they go together. Plus, then you know what His will is. And then the pattern. So the prayer Jesus taught in the Lord's Prayer, its seven main parts are, first, the address. Our Father who art in heaven. That's the address. B is seven petitions, like we pointed out earlier. Seven petitions. And C, then, what has been added on that, we Christians have added, is called the doxology, which is a hymn of praise. Doxology. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. That's the doxology. So a good outline for prayer there too. Questions? Take a look next time. We're getting close to the end of our studies together, but next time's going to be a really cool one. The Christian and Bible study. So perfect. We've been talking about the importance of Bible study. Let's close with
prayer.
Lord in heaven, we praise you for everything that you've given us, not just day by day, but also in this Bible study. Lord, thank you for the reminders that you've given us through your word. Thank you for the blessing of prayer. Lord, forgive us for the times when we don't take that prayer seriously, when we forget to talk to you, when we forget to let you talk to us through Scripture. Lord, forgive us for the times when we have an imbalanced prayer. Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus to die for those sins so that we can indeed come to you. So Lord, we ask that you would guide us to pray more, to have a good balanced prayer, but then also to pray not just for ourselves, but for others. Lord, we ask all of this in our Savior Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week, everybody.